Welcome to another edition of Feral and Fabulous. I have, as always, a most fabulous guest here today, Barbara Hummel, and the crowd goes wild. I have known Barbara forever. She's been in banking forever. I mean, I don't know, even know how many years. How many years have you been in banking?
30 plus.
Okay. I knew it had been a minute. And then we met each other. You'd already been in banking when we met. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I remember most about initially meeting you is we worked together on a real estate transaction.
Yes.
You had a home that I was selling for you guys. And I don't know if you remember this. I think you probably do just because it was so traumatic. But that the property, once it was under contract, it was involved in a 5-deep contingency, meaning that there were 4 other properties that had to sell in a line of 5 total in order to get to the closing line, you know, to the finish line. And so it was a little nerve-wracking just because when you had that many, a contingency on a contingency, and I believe one of the 5 contingencies involved Granbury. I want to say it was a little city outside of Dallas, but anyway, just crazy stuff. But back in the day, that was unusual and a large amount of contingency. So I think we kind of trauma bonded during during that, you know, whole process, just because we were having to talk like all the time. I think that I'd be like, okay, now this is happening. You're like, okay, why is that happening? And so anyway, I think that was kind of the beginning. And then we've been kind of fast friends ever since.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I don't remember. What year was that? Do you remember?
2014.
Oh my gosh. It's been 12 years ago?
Yeah.
Jeez, I can't believe it. The time goes by so fast. Where the heck did it go? Because I mean, your kids were, you know, obviously.
They were little.
Yeah. They're all grown now. I can't believe it. It's been 12 years. It flew by in just like an instant. So I know you've had so much cool stuff going on in your life, you know, all these 12 years that have passed. I know that, and I don't want to get this wrong, but you have just been selected to be involved in the Influential Women magazine, and that is incredible. So can you tell me a little bit about what that involves and how did you get selected? I mean, I know why you're amazing, but I mean, I'm curious about that.
I was contacted by Influential Women magazine, and they have you fill out an application.
Okay.
And then they have one-on-one interviews with you.
Okay.
And after those interviews, they vote on whether or not you're going to be accepted.
Okay, cool. And is this based on your, obviously, your background in banking, your basically just your position within the community?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. Absolutely.
A lot of networking, a lot of...
Yeah, you are the queen of that. Absolutely the queen of networking, for sure.
I'm also involved in a lot of nonprofits.
Yes.
And that helped.
Yes.
The decision-making process.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. Tell me a little bit about your nonprofit stuff. What all have you been involved in? Because I know absolutely that's one of your passions.
It is. So I'm Texas Women in Business is a nonprofit.
Yeah.
And we raise money for other nonprofits.
Yes.
So we have big projects that we do through that. And I'm actually in charge of their philanthropy group.
Oh, that's awesome. Very cool. I love TWIB. Yes.
So I help make the decisions on what we're going to pick for our nonprofits.
Oh, great.
Then I'm in Commercial Real Estate Women of San Antonio.
Oh, fantastic.
And they actually have what's called Crew Foundation.
Yeah.
Where we actually give out scholarships.
Yeah.
To young women who are wanting to go into the commercial real estate realm.
Oh, really? Oh, mm-hmm. That's so cool. I did not know that. Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
And then I'm on a group called Impact San Antonio.
I have heard of that. Tell me a little bit about that.
Okay. So Impact San Antonio is a group that we raise about $500,000 a year.
Oh, you're kidding me. I didn't realize it was that much.
And well, every member has to donate a certain amount of money.
Okay.
In order to be on
part of the group.
The committee.
Okay.
And then we give out 5 $100,000 grants.
Oh my gosh.
To companies or groups that apply for them that are going to make a big impact on the city of San Antonio.
Oh, that's so cool. And how long have you been doing that?
A couple of years now.
Okay. Fantastic. No, I knew, like I said, I knew you from banking. I knew that, like I said, networking, you are the queen of networking. Mm-hmm. And I know that over the years, I mean, just through your background in banking, I know you've helped a lot of my clients with all their different needs. I know you do commercial lending. I know you've done all kinds of like HELOCs and or home equity. I guess I shouldn't use acronyms if people don't know what
they are.
Home
equity lines of credit and home equity loans, yeah. Mortgages.
Yeah, you've helped so many of my clients and friends with all of that. And like I said, you're just so great to always be available, following up, just on the spot with everything, with every aspect of what you do. So I'm not surprised that you made it into the influential women magazine. So I'm excited. Now, when will that come out?
It should be out in December of this year.
Okay. Oh, wow. So but by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
You see me on Facebook or Instagram or on LinkedIn,
yeah,
they already have a picture out there and they already have a video out there showing that I've been chosen to be a part of this.
Oh, I love that. I did not know that. I'm going to have to, you know what, for whatever reason, I have not been on social media lately. In fact, I got a notification this morning that says what's it called? Your interaction or your, what do they call it on social media? Is it interaction or your... There's some, I don't know what they call it. But anyway, they just said, it's down 40%. And I'm just like, I don't have time, you know? Your engagement, maybe?
Your engagement is down.
Exactly, your engagement. Yes. You know, I'm not the social media guru by any stretch of the imagination.
Neither am I.
I struggle. And I think, you know what's so funny? I think you and I, we had talked about this. For whatever reason, we'd been friends on social media for years. And then I think that... one of my grandkids got a hold of my phone. This is a couple of years ago. And they actually deleted off, and I didn't know it. They deleted off a bunch of my friends on Facebook. And so what I noticed is that, like, I had another friend whose name, their thing came up, it was their birthday, and I went to wish them a happy birthday. I'm like, I'm not friends with them anymore. And then I started looking, and I'm like, I'm not friends with so-and-so, and I'm not friends with so-and-so. I'm like, how did this happen? And then I realized it's like she was playing on my phone at one of our get-togethers in the evening. And the next thing I know, she's like, I don't know how she even knows, but you know, these kids today, they can be 4 or 5, but they're like geniuses she could give me a, you know, schooling on how to use Facebook and Instagram and all that kind of stuff. But well, anyway,
I go to my kids if I need to do something that I don't
Same.
Know how to do.
No, I do. I feel like I don't even understand. And of course I was freaking out last night because I was, I always watch TV in the bathtub, and there's some feature on something I was on that it took a picture. I'm like, what is happening? I was freaking out that it's like some kind of like, I don't know, no feature. And one of my other friends is like, no, you've got to disable that. I'm like, what are you talking about? Why do you have to disable a feature that automatically takes pictures randomly? I'm just like, oh my gosh.
Why, you were at the top.
Yeah, no, I mean. Luckily, I had the TV on, but you know, what can I say? I am technologically challenged, and I'm just like, oh my gosh. And like I said, and my engagement has been down 40% lately. So I'm just like, I work for a living. I'm busy. I haven't had time to engage in social activity or social media activity. So anyway, gosh, there's so many things I wanted to talk to you about. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about is you're from New Jersey.
Yes.
Right?
And originally.
Originally from New Jersey. So I'm curious to know, how did you end up in San Antonio? What was the path that led you to San Antonio? Because you've been here now, how long?
22 years.
See, you've been here a long time. Yeah. So what was that path?
Was previously married.
Yes.
And he was commuting back and forth to San Antonio for a year.
Oh, I did not.
Spending a week every single month.
Okay, I did not remember that. Okay.
And finally, his company said, we're moving you to San Antonio.
Okay.
Fortunately, at the time, my kids were only 6 and 7.
Right.
So if we were going to move them, that was the best time to go.
Sure, sure.
It was difficult, though. I went through a depression the first year I was here.
Yeah.
Because my entire family...
Everything was back in New Jersey,
everything.
Right?
Everything.
And that's where you'd always been?
I was in the same hometown.
Are you kidding?
From the time I was 2 years old.
Oh my gosh. I knew you were from New Jersey. I didn't realize you were in the same town as where you grew up.
Yeah. My dad was mayor. My brother was a cop. My mother sold real estate.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
All in the same hometown.
I didn't remember that about your dad was the mayor?
8 years.
I love that. Oh, my gosh. That's so cool. That is very cool. I did not remember that. So tell me, when you first came to San Antonio, what was the biggest culture shock, do you think? Because that's a big transition to go from New Jersey to San Antonio, at least in my world, it is.
Well, when we first moved here, we moved to the Heights at Stone Oak.
Oh, I remember. That's the
there
first
house
I
ever There was no
HEB. Right.
There was, the only thing that was up there was CVS.
Right, right.
So to get
randomly
anywhere, it was 20, 25 minutes to the closest HEB or
you're right
anywhere.
It was just like a sea of trees in
Absolutely.
Stone Oak, right? It was just so not developed at that point.
And food.
Yes.
Because, I'm sorry, in the New York, New Jersey area, there is nothing better than
Italian,
amazing
right?
Italian.
I know.
Amazing Oriental food.
Yes, yes.
I mean, because you're so close to New York.
Yes.
We were only a half an hour
it's
outside of the
city. It's such a melting pot. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah,
I'm sure, you know, well, what's your favorite Italian food?
We make our own.
We
make our own sauce. We make our own meatballs.
Why did I not know that? Yeah. Yeah. I should have known.
Especially Michael Mano.
Yes. Exactly. And what is your maiden name?
My maiden name was Herfler.
Okay.
My dad was German, but my mom was Italian.
Okay. Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. And so now was the influence from Italy, was that on your mom's side?
Absolutely.
Okay. And so was she always cooking Italian food or no?
Yeah.
Okay. Very cool.
And I learned how to cook, bake, everything from my mom, my great aunt.
Okay. So you didn't have a lot of German food growing up. Your dad wasn't a big cook?
No, but my grandmother... My dad's mother was still alive.
Okay. Oh.
We did have bratwurst and knutwurst.
Okay.
And,
okay.
You know, that
so
kind of stuff.
So you did have a mix. Yeah, you did have a little bit of both. And so when you went out to dinner in New Jersey, it was pretty much, would you go eat Italian or would you always have it at home and you would have something else when you would go out?
No, there were some amazing Italian. The other thing in New Jersey that is fresher than anywhere I've ever been because we were so close to the Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
The clams,
mussels,
the shrimp, right off the boat.
I didn't even think about that. Remember the show, Jersey Shore? Y'all remember that? From back in the MTV days?
Never watched it a day in my life, but they were not from New Jersey.
Okay.
They were from New York.
Oh, well, then that's probably, you didn't probably watch it because you were the OG of Jersey Shore. You were probably the one out there in your bikini running around on the ocean, clamming and doing all kinds of stuff. Huh?
Well, we grew up down
there.
We spent every summer at the Jersey Shore.
Yeah. Why watch Jersey Shore when you were at Jersey Shore?
My dad owned a boat. So every weekend we would go crabbing and fishing and swimming off of the boat. So,
I didn't remember that.
And we rented houses down there every single summer.
Okay. So and obviously you like the beach, right?
When I was a young adult, I rented a house. It was a two-story house with 23 people.
Are you kidding? You are snooky. I mean, I'm serious. I think you're the San Antonio version of snooky.
We had mattresses on the floor, on the couch.
Oh, that's so fun. I did not know that.
Yeah.
One of the things I love about the podcast is I learned so much stuff that I did not know about people. And that's awesome. I did not know.
And we're so thankful there were no video phones back in the day.
You know what? We say that all the time is that, you know, my generation aren't, you know, you're younger than me, but our generation.
Not much.
Yeah, but still, our generation is so lucky in so many ways because we grew up so different. And I think that thank goodness we weren't on camera all the time because we would be in trouble.
Well, the 60s and 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
It was the live music era.
Yes.
We went to see live music
all
every
the time.
Weekend.
And it was everywhere.
Everywhere.
It was so available.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Every town, every city had a bar or restaurant.
That had live music.
Had live music.
I totally agree.
And
I feel like
miss
it's so
that.
Different. I know.
And the music today is
so
not
different.
Like the music of when
totally we, agree. Totally
we had
agree.
Pockets and pockets and pockets of different type of music.
Yeah.
And artists. And
yeah.
It was just amazing.
Yeah, no, you're right. I've forgotten about how much of a predominant thing that was, you know, back in the day. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of musicians and artists in general struggle more today because in order to get in front of people, it's almost like you have to have a big venue. And a lot of the artists don't have the following to be able to support a larger venue.
You're right.
And there's not that many small venues. I mean, I will ask Lupus Thunder. I mean, because obviously back when you were in the Bloodhound Gang for like a dozen years, I mean, you guys, that was at a time when, although in the 90s, right? So you were a little past the decades that we're talking about. There were still venues that would support the, but you guys had, you were able to support a bigger venue back then. So you didn't have quite the struggle that some of the other musicians had, whereas they needed a, again, bigger than a bar, but not yet a stadium, you know, something in between. And I think back then there were not as many options, were there? Or have they since, you know, done it to where there's more stadiums now?
Well, now everybody wants to play stadiums, and that's where all the money is. But
you've got to be a certain level of an artist, right, to support a stadium.
And that's why so many concerts are being canceled
right?
Because nobody's selling tickets.
But right.
There is a lot of, like, the good venues that were in that medium range, like the 2,000-seat, 3,000-seat.
Okay.
Like, a lot of them are gone. They're old.
Yeah.
The old theaters, the places like the Majestic, but all across the country.
Yeah, and that's what Barbara's
Majestic
talking
has
about.
Been
is
preserved, but like so many of them
have
like
not
the
been.
The Trocadero in Philadelphia, one of the greatest venues I've ever been in. Like, it was a dump, but everybody loved it. But, you know, they had to shut it down because progress.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah. What is it? One step forward, two steps back. I mean, in some ways, I think, especially in the music industry, I think that that's definitely what's happening. But I think those type of venues that we kind of grew up with, like a big venue was the 2,000 to 3,000, you know, people venue. And that would be like, you'd really made it. Like, if you were in one of those venues, like, you were big time at that point. But now, you don't really have the opportunity for an artist to grow from the little bar to that kind of a venue. It's like you have to leap from the bar, which there's still few bars now that even, you know, will allow bands to be there on a regular basis. It's just gone away.
Back in the day, the Whiskey A Go-Go, the Stone Pony,
they were
a catalyst for a lot of these bands.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe you even remember the name of those places. That's crazy.
They were huge.
The Stone Pony's legendary, though.
Yes.
Probably. Bruce Springsteen, the biggest thing to come out of that.
Well, right. I figured probably because
of
the Bloodhound.
And it was one of the greatest days of my life because of the legend.
I think it was legendary because of Bloodhound Gang.
And Bon Jovi played there because he's from New Jersey.
That's right.
So there were a lot of those New Jersey rock bands that started in places like that. Whiskey A Go-Go, some of the biggest stars got their start at the Whiskey A Go-Go in California.
I did not know that. Oh, that's incredible. How fascinating. I love that. No, I mean, it's so crazy just to think about how things were back then. And then we're talking about now, like Matt was just saying, you find that a lot of the artists right now that are trying to play in stadiums, and they're actually big artists, they're huge artists, but they're still struggling because I think the ticket prices, I mean, the economy's soft. And so you've got these crazy high ticket prices, and even though somebody might like an artist to pay, I mean, what's like a cheap ticket now? I don't even know.
Like $200.
Yeah.
It's not even.
No, that's what I'm saying.
That's crazy.
The cheap ticket is $200. And if that's the cheap ticket, then imagine, I mean, I know some of the prices to be like in some of the front rows or like on the floor are like thousands a piece. I mean, who's going to, again, for the most part, who's going to be able to afford that, much less on a regular basis? So if you go to one concert, okay, you've checked that block for the year, but how do you support all these artists when, again, believe me, you've had to give me some banking help to go to Morgan Wallen with the granddaughters, you know? I mean, thank God I know Barbara Hummel, because I had to take out a loan to go see Morgan Wallen, because it's one of those things. But again, once you do that, where's the money that you have left to go see some of these other artists? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why they're struggling, because you can only afford to like so many artists in person. You may like them from home. You may enjoy their music and listening to them on, you know, wherever you listen to your music, you know, kind of like your podcast. But I think it's a challenge for a lot of, and we've been talking about AI so much lately on the podcast, that I think that it all figures into everything, including music, right? I mean, it's just one of those things that I think AI is taking over. In fact, I can't remember which episode it was that we were talking about. There is an artist right now that is totally AI generated, and I don't remember. A Shifty? I think his name is Matt. Yeah,
we were talking about it on Kelly's episode.
Kelly, yeah.
And it was Shifty Brent.
Who is it?
Shifty Brent. But it's all Brent. 50 Cent music. Yes. Like no, 50 Cent AI. Songs, Matt, but it's all
it's
AI.
Fitty. It's Fitty. Yeah, Fitty. Fitty Cent. Yeah, sorry. I love me some Fitty. But definitely, you're right. I mean, it's one of those things that I feel like if you have a totally AI-generated artist, and how do they perform in concert? But I guess they can do a hologram or whatever. Mm-hmm. But still, if they're able to make a bunch of money on that, what's that going to do to the real artists that I think, I don't know. I mean, there's a part of me that, I mean, in some ways I appreciate the fact I'm getting older, because I'm just too old for this stuff that's happening right now. I can't handle it. You know, I feel like my grandkids and you know, the people being born after them are going to be experiencing such a different world. And maybe it's not better. Maybe it's, you know, in the eye of the beholder. But for me, I feel like they're just missing out on so much cool stuff that you and I grew up with. And even I feel like to a certain degree, Matt, although much younger than us, is still more of our generation than, you know, say my son Jackson, you know, who's 27. And what he experiences is just a completely different world. And then we've got Katie kind of in the middle, you know, where she is probably, I mean, are you a concert goer? Are you a person that likes to go to concerts?
No. When I was younger, I did, but not as an adult.
Okay.
But I'm also cheap.
Like, I but because I don't think her mic's on. Basically, Katie's saying she's cheap, so she doesn't tend to go to concerts that much. But, you know, honestly, I mean, even being cheap back when we were younger, some people would still go to concerts because they were more affordable. You know, now they're just not.
A lot of people are doing places like up in Fredericksburg. There's a place called the Rock Box.
Oh, yes.
They do all the knockoff bands.
Yes.
Mike and I go once a month.
Really?
It's like $50, $60 for tickets.
Yes.
On a Saturday night. It's a beautiful drive up there.
Yes.
We go to a 4 o'clock matinee because we're getting old. We go to dinner.
But it's a whole experience.
It is a whole experience.
Yes. And Fredericksburg is becoming quite the place, quite the destination place, right?
And I mean, we've seen Chicago.
Yeah.
We've seen the Eagles. We've seen, so many. Frank Sinatra.
Yeah. And
amazing, amazing musicians.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
But so, are these predominantly knockoff bands or?
They're all knockoff bands.
Okay, interesting.
They're all copycat bands.
Okay. Are there any OG artists that are playing in Fredericksburg, or is it mainly, you think?
It's mainly
the knockoff?
Mainly the knockoff.
See, that's interesting, because then imagine if you're an actual, you know, participating new artist or something like that and not trying to copy other people's work, you know, it might be harder for you to get a venue, even in a place like Fredericksburg. Mm-hmm. And Fredericksburg's not far.
They do have some up-and-coming country artists that play there sometimes.
I was wondering. That's cool, because I feel like artists have to get their start somewhere. And where do these guys play, you know? And how long does it take y'all to get to Fredericksburg?
An hour.
Yeah. I mean, I show in Fredericksburg fairly often.
An hour.
And so for me, depending on traffic, you know, sometimes, especially with our construction, it can take a little bit.
We typically take the back roads up to 46 and avoid the 1604 I-10.
Yes, that's smart. That's smart. And a lot of times we're coming from different places, and so I'll end up in that traffic that you're talking about. But I do think that that's a really cool drive, especially if you go the back way. And Fredericksburg is such a beautiful place. I mean, I feel like they have wineries. They have – and what is that big hotel that they're building up there now in Fredericksburg? It's like, I couldn't believe it. It's like, I told somebody the other day, they said, there's no way. And then I Googled it, and sure enough, they are building it. It's not the, It's not Four Seasons.
Is it the Ritz?
No, it's not the Ritz. It's the other one.
It's one like that, though.
It's like the Ritz. It's very much like the Ritz. It's
Waldorf?
That's it. The Waldorf. It's the Waldorf. I couldn't think of that. I must need another shot of tequila. So what is that song that the Eagles sing? You must not be drinking enough or something like that. I don't know. Maybe that's my song today. But I think it's such a, like I said, such an interesting dynamic of what's happening in the music industry, what's happening even in the destination, you know, industry. I've got several different clients that are looking to do short-term rentals, and they're trying to figure out, you know, where are the places that are outside a big city, but still a drivable distance, you know, that kind of thing. Do you guys like to go to the coast? I know you mentioned spending time on the Jersey coast. Do you like to go to like Port Aransas or Galveston or anything like that?
Growing up at the New Jersey shore.
Yeah.
We go to South Padre.
Awesome. Do you?
We love the soft sand and the clear vibe. Water. And
yes.
There's more of a vibe down there. Yes. There's some really great restaurants down there.
100%.
Some good music venues.
That's true. That is true. South Padre does have all of that. Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. And so it's worth a 5-hour drive?
4.5. We drive. Yeah, well, sometimes 4:15.
Well, you are from Jersey. You are from Jersey, so you probably drive a little faster than most. Oh, my gosh. Well, so when you guys go to South Padre, do you make a weekend of it, or do you take off and, like, do a whole week there?
We usually just do 2 or 3 days.
Okay.
Mike can't do more than 2 or 3 days on the beach.
Okay. No, I get
that. He gets bored.
No, I get that. I mean, no. I do think sometimes, and I love going to the beach, but I also like it in reduced doses. I don't know that I could do a full week at the beach, you know, just because you can only get burned so much one time, and then the rest of the time you're like, don't touch me. I'm literally melting. So I do tend to be bad about putting enough sunscreen and all that kind of stuff. So, and the sand, like you said, I love sand. I love walking in the sand. I love walking on the beach. But I actually think I would prefer to live there than actually spend a week on a vacation. You know what I mean? I'd rather vacation for a few days and then, you know, but if I live down there, you're going to live differently than if you're just going down there for a, you know, short amount of time.
Agreed.
Exactly.
Long-range plans for us is a rental property in New Jersey at the beach.
Yeah. Oh, how awesome would that be? That would be fantastic.
So we can... You know, when I retire from banking someday, maybe spend.
Well, don't retire soon because I need your help. I mean, you're my go-to banker, so I definitely, you know,
I probably have a good 5 years yet.
Okay, good.
Maybe.
Okay, good.
We'll see.
Well, good. Well, I look forward to whatever that looks like in the future. And so I know you had mentioned earlier that you guys cook. Who do you think is the better cook between you and Michael?
Oh, I definitely am.
Okay. I love it. I love a woman with confidence.
He has a few good recipes that he makes.
Okay.
And he's very good with sauces.
Okay. Okay.
But I have a much more broader
okay.
Selections.
Okay. That you cook.
You know,
okay. Very
from
good.
Years and years and years of cooking.
Absolutely.
I'm also a renowned baker amongst friends and family.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That is amazing. So what do you like to bake?
Everything. I mean, I can do cream puffs and cakes and cookies and
oh my
pies.
Gosh. Oh, well, I'm definitely coming over to your house, especially at the holidays. I bet your place is probably full of that kind of stuff at the holidays.
I make about 30 different kinds of cookies at Christmas.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? I have had some of your cookies.
I give them out as gifts.
You're right. I have. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realize what a renowned baker you were. I just thought you were an amazing, you know, like holiday baker. But I did not know that you had the breadth of, you know, knowledge in the baking, you know, world either. That's super cool. Well, I'm looking forward to it. And so are the producers. We're all going to be looking forward to the holidays this year. Do you bake year round or is it something you really focus on over the holidays? Or just depending?
Focus more at the holidays. But when I have company.
Sure.
I'm doing something from scratch for dessert.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not buying something.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh, that is incredible.
Now that the house is just about done.
Yay! Oh my gosh.
We need to have you and Dave over for dinner.
I can't wait. Oh my gosh. You guys always do such an amazing job with every home that you ever bought. I mean, literally what it looks like when you buy it. I can say this 100% of the time. And the only home that you've had that I didn't see in the beginning was the one that I think you bought brand new. I think in the Heights at Stone Oak. Yeah. I think that was a new home. Mm-hmm. So I know what it looked like when you went to sell it, which was amazing. And then every subsequent home that you have had, what it looked like when you bought it. So I've learned what it looks like when you're first looking is nothing going to be what it looks like when it's all finished, when you've put your finishing touch on it, and it or touches, I should say, because you basically have remodeled many homes. I mean, the homes that I've seen were just amazing, and all of them sold very quickly when it came time to sell, regardless of what the market looked like, because that's how nice the home showed after you had it. I mean, this last one, I think I sold in a day or two.
Both houses. First person that walked through.
Yes. I love me some Barbara Hubbell. I always want to be listing. And what's the saying on the show? Always be closing. ABC. Always be closing. ABC with Barbara Hummel. Well, that is a great note to end this portion of the podcast on. And we're going to start the next version of the podcast. We are going to do the feral or fabulous part of the podcast. So if you will grab your paddle and be ready. I've got several things. And here's the thing. I developed this list before we actually filmed the podcast. So one of the items I have on the list is one that we ended up talking bizarrely in the podcast, which was totally unintended that we went off on a tangent on music. So I will tell you, one of the things I have for you is Bon Jovi. You mentioned when we were talking about music, fabulous. Oh my gosh. It's so crazy. I had that as one of the things I was going to ask you. So you fabulous. You grew up listening to them, correct? Yeah. I know you mentioned them earlier. So I was like, wow, what are the odds? That's kind of crazy. So what's your favorite Bon Jovi song?
I couldn't tell you, actually. Okay.
Living on a Prayer?
Yeah, Living on a Prayer is one of my favorites.
I pretty much do that daily. So
Living on a Prayer is one of my favorites.
Okay, very cool.
Just love rock and roll.
Okay, that's true.
You know, that
in our era, the rock and roll was, I think, the best. I mean, it was just,
Skinner and Zeppelin.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. Yes, definitely. No, I like them as my ringtones also. If ringtones are even a thing, you know, I mean, everybody's so away from all the original, you know, stuff that we used to do. So, okay, next one. Saltwater taffy. I love it. Oh, my gosh. 100%.
Well, we can get that at the Jersey Shore.
I know.
Fresh.
Oh, is it fresh?
It's made right there.
Oh, my gosh. I bet that is so good. I love toffee. And for it to be fresh,
it's
made.
So gooey
stretchy.
And stretchy.
What's your favorite flavor?
I really like, it's like a almondy flavor.
Okay.
And then I also love vanilla, believe it or not.
Yeah, no. I'm with you. I like vanilla.
And then I like the vanilla and
the swirl?
Yes, with the mint.
Oh, yes.
The vanilla mint swirl.
Yum. No, I love taffy. I mean, or taffy. I love, I think probably I'm a weirdo. I like watermelon. And then I also like cherry. Probably cherry is my favorite just because I like cherry anything, you know. I just like cherries in general. So yummy. Okay, well, we're 2 for 2 so far, so we'll see. Merry-go-rounds. Amen. So far, I'm in 100% agreement with you on all the things so far. So yeah, not a fan.
I get sick going around in a circle.
I
can do roller coasters, but I can't do circles.
But you get the cylindrical kind of spin. Yep. You know, I can do the spin. It doesn't actually make me sick. It just is annoying. I just find it to be, you know what I mean? I mean, like, I don't know. I always have this picture in my head of that movie, Sleeping with the Enemy, and where, you know, somebody's on the little horse that's going up and down and the crazy nutcase is watching her as she, you know, goes around, or whether it's the Ferris wheel or the merry-go-round. I don't know. I always imagine some crackhead over there in the corner just watching you, you know. So anyway, I'm not a fan. So that's my disdain for carnivals and that kind of thing in general, just because I think it brings out all the creeps. So, okay. So not a fan of merry-go-rounds. Raincoats. Do you wear or use raincoats? Okay, Farrell.
I don't own one.
You know what? I don't either. I did as a kid.
Me too.
Right? It was more of a thing.
I didn't like that plastic.
Me either.
Made you hot.
Yes. I totally agree. No, raincoats were annoying. I just find them to be, I'm not a fan. And so I will just endure the elements and
I'll just put an umbrella on and go.
You know what? I don't even like umbrellas.
I don't either, but if you have to go to a meeting.
No, you're right, 100%. You should use an umbrella. I just don't like umbrellas because I think they're just dangerous and they're awkward and they're weird. And it's like, once you use them, what do you do with them? Because then they're all wet.
And how many times have you left them somewhere?
Yes, all the time, because I don't ever think about using them. And then if I do use one, by the time I get there, it's already quit raining, or wherever I've been inside, I've decided, hey, I don't need an umbrella anymore, so I don't even think about the fact I brought one in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100%. So, roasting marshmallows. Fabulous. Me too. I love them. I like s'mores. When they're extra. Oh, s'mores are my favorite. Like, I love s'mores anything. S'mores cookies. I love s'mores ice cream. I mean, anything s'mores, I'm down for. So, and I like my marshmallows kind of extra crispy or roasted.
Almost charred.
Yes, I totally agree. In fact, they're Kirby's Steakhouse. It's my favorite steakhouse. They have this dessert called Half Baked, and I like mine twice baked because it's like, it's got this marshmallow, and I like them to really like toast the marshmallows on top. And it's like a chocolate chip cookie with like, it's crack. It's so delicious. So we're going to have to go there again soon. We actually, the four of us have had dinner. This has been, it's been 2-3 years, but we need to go back and have some more dinner at Kirby's and enjoy. They're half baked, only we'll have it twice baked. Okay, my last one. So you're ready. Saturday Night Fever.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, I love it. Me too. Stay alive. Yes, exactly. Oh, I love it. Now, I literally, every time I hear that Bee Gees song, I am inspired. And of course, one of my favorite like video clips is John Travolta when he's walking down the sidewalk, you know,
with the music playing
and he's got his boots on and he's, you know, he's the disco king, you know. No, that will live forever in infamy in my mind, because I love it. It to me, it brings back everything that was cool and fun about the 70s, you know? And I'm a huge fan. So I love that you love it as well. So, well, awesome. Thank you so much for being on Feral or Fabulous as well. And I look forward to having you guys tune in to the next episode of Feral and Fabulous. Keep on keeping on. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.